Welcome. You've got podcast. The Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast is a condensed version of the show. Go to kidnation.com for more kid content.
Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's happening?
Halfway done with the week.
Yeah, we are.
Not too bad, right?
Okay.
David Duchovny from the X-Files and Californication is going to be calling the show to talk about his new album. Yes, I said album. Multi-talented. And also Beat the Bank coming up in about 30 minutes. Your shot at winning up to $1,000. But if you have that phone handy right now and you want to give us a call because you have one of those cool cameras in your house and you've caught somebody doing something hilarious.
Something.
Weird. Gnarly.
A lot of nanny cams are set up.
Yeah.
And just to protect your home. If you've been the victim of a burglary, you get paranoid, you set up cameras
always
everywhere,
good.
You never know what you'll catch.
Sometimes you'll catch something weird. Give us a call, 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-D-KID.
Now, Jenna, you have one of these cams.
I do. What yes.
Why'd you get it?
The drop cam.
Let me start off. This is one of the most personal things I've ever shared, and I don't prefer to abuse this public platform we have, you know, for not doing a good thing. But this is something I think a lot of people need to know about. So I'm going to keep some privacy here with the people involved. But look, since I take care of my dog myself, and when I had a boyfriend, he was very helpful with my dog. But once that relationship ended, the first thing I had to do was find an alternative arrangement for my pug Maximus.
And that pug Maximus is your life.
Maximus is my, well, I mean, as a lot of dog owners, you know, when you don't have children and your dog is, you've had him. I mean, I've had him for 11 years. He is a huge part of my life. So, first things first, to find this arrangement, and we work these early hours. So I ended up hiring this highly recommended professional dog walker literally the day my boyfriend and I broke up because Maximus is so important. I had no doubt when I first met this person that I had struck gold as far as dog walking goes. Mm-hmm. He is a super fan of the show.
Perfect.
He cried in the first meeting talking to me about how much he loved Kid Craddock.
Okay.
Really bonded. He truly was so passionate about animals and just dogs are his life. A little quirky, as a dog walker should be, because, you know, you want this person to care about your dog as much as you do.
So you're feeling comfortable at first meet.
I am, and he's probably been walking my dog for a while now. Mm-hmm. I'd say 8 months.
Yeah.
And you know.
Is this the guy that would send you, like, poo-poo picture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bowel movement updates on walks.
Gotcha.
And status, you know.
Nice.
And then,
too much there. But
and in January, Maximus was diagnosed with diabetes, and it's been kind of touch and go for a while. We've had some scary situations, so I've been very dependent on this person I'm paying to help me really be a caretaker for my dog. But recently...
So he's got a key to your apartment, right?
Of course. And I've always trusted him. I really always have, you know? And so I... But recently, in the last month, I would say, I started becoming a little suspicious that maybe Maximus wasn't getting his walks in. You know, accidents in the house. I have a patio door that I leave open when I leave in the morning in case he needs to go out and go to the bathroom or get some fresh air. But there was just more in the last month. And a couple of situations that I was just suspicious that he wasn't getting his walks in, and I didn't have proof. So my friends have this drop cam, and they watch their new doggy, and they're overprotective, and then we tune into the drop cam, and it's a hilarious thing, and it's super cool. So a few weeks back, I'm like, I'm going to go to the Apple Store and buy a drop cam and set it up in the living room so I can just watch Max and make sure he's okay when I'm at work.
And he's playing.
Notifications when there's motion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I've been watching it. Wasn't watching it real rigorously.
You said it sends you notifications when there's movement, right?
Yeah, you can set it to where it's
it
like
turns
front
on.
Front door opens and it'll send you an email, so you don't have to hover over it all day.
Oh, yeah,
dog moves. I mean, if it's just a dog sleeping on the couch,
sure.
What mine would catch George
boring
all day.
Yeah, but if contractors come in or my roommate or the dog walker or whatever, I catch it. So, anyway, I became suspicious. And what's the harm, you know, checking in on my sweet sick pug every now and then? But I'll tell you what, you guys, ignorance is bliss, because what I discovered in the last couple of weeks that I've really been watching it is beyond heartbreaking. And I've been sitting on this for a little bit until I figured out the correct way to handle it, because this is a real adult kind of life situation. And I've never been in a position where I came to a point that I felt like I was going to have to fire someone that was so personally involved in my life with full access to my life. And it's awkward and I don't know how to handle it. So I've been getting advice from some people that I trust. But yesterday something happened when I got out of work that I... Without hesitation, I just lost it, and I had to fix this.
Because you watched the video of what went down?
Yes.
Okay.
So yesterday, I'm watching the camera, and in the morning, he's supposed to be, we can get into time and money and all, but it really doesn't matter when it comes down to it. But, you know, I'm paying for a service of, you know, 2 20-minute walks a day. And the morning walk was only 8 minutes. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's not long enough. You know, I'm paying for more. But what happened at his lunchtime walk, I was on my way home, And I really was trying to build a case and really hope that I wasn't really seeing what I was seeing.
Because you want to be wrong.
I want to be so wrong. I want to be so wrong. But then it also comes a time that you're like, this is a living creature.
Yeah.
So,
and this is, I mean, this is your dog, the dog you have birthday parties for. You have outfits. Everything you do revolves around your dog.
This is the dog that I thought
all
I almost...
All right, JC, you've painted the picture. She's nuts.
So,
Jenna loves her dog.
So I have a handful. I have a handful of instances since I have the drop cam, but let's just talk about yesterday's walk that sent me over the edge.
Okay.
I have video of at 12 p.m. the dog walker walks inside talking loudly on the cell phone, barely touched my dog's head who was laying on the couch. He strolled around my place for 2 minutes. Don't have cameras everywhere. Not totally sure what he was doing. Looked at the patio, walked into the kitchen, and then 2 minutes later, he walks out the front door.
He was on the phone the whole time?
Yep. Did not take my dog outside.
Did he even look at the dog?
This is the second time in the last couple of weeks I've seen him completely not take him out. The other times it's been for like 4 minutes when it takes a minute to get downstairs in my condo and a minute up. So I couldn't believe what I witnessed. I was sitting in the gym parking lot eating lunch because I was waiting on him to walk my dog. I went home, watched it again to make sure I didn't miss the walk. Like, no way this really happened. I don't want to believe what I'm seeing. And then I texted him because I want to handle this in person with him. You know, I want to talk to him. I want to get my key back. Right. I don't want to give him a heads up. So I said, I have an issue with Maximus. I really need to talk to you about, you know, can you get back over here? So it took him a couple hours, and but I was there and waiting, and I had my webcam set up.
Oh,
so you want to catch that part on webcam.
I just figured I caught this on a webcam, and my roommate and my close friends that I've told about this were really, and they have drop cams. I was really, you know, they were concerned, and I didn't know how it was going to go. And if
I would have somebody there with
me. Was anybody home with you?
I guess the streaming, but... That streaming could just catch something violent happening.
Well, look, I really care about this person, and that's what you guys need to understand. Like, this wasn't just someone doing a random service for me that, like, a plumber didn't do a good job, so I fired him. Like, it's not an inanimate object.
You considered a friend.
And, I mean, I already knew that I was going to have to talk to his boss, but I really wanted him to look me in the eye, and I wanted to give him the opportunity to be honest. So, yeah, of course, I streamed it to 5 of my closest friends, invited them to watch, just in case something did go wrong. But... I sat him down and I said, look, I need to talk to you about something. And he sat down on the couch and I said, I just want you to be totally honest with me right now. How long have you been walking my dog every day? And he said, 15, 20 minutes. I go, well, I need you to answer that again because that's not the right answer.
Ooh.
This turned full like Chris Hansen.
Did you have the stool and everything?
And
have a seat, please.
He again blatantly lied. And so at that point, I realized what I was going to have to do. And I told him about what I just told you guys, that I've had this drop cam and that I, have witnessed him not walking my dog. And he said, well,
he got defensive.
And to make matters worse, he had just sent me a text message in graphic detail about their long stroll and tingles and poo and what great energy Max had. And I said, that is pathological. You texted me all these details about, and he's been doing this for months, texting me details.
The picture stopped.
No. I've tried to reason with myself. Maybe he's been having a bad few weeks. And so I said, I just want you to be honest with me. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And his reaction was appalling. It was completely unremorseful, sociopathic, like no remorse in his eyes.
He got defensive.
He started giving me the hand motion like, well, what can I do to make this better? You want a refund for today's walk? I go, no.
Oh, my God.
He started
for
lying.
Today,
I pulled out my sheet of, well, let's talk about this morning's walk. You entered my apartment at 7:07. You fed him. You left at 7:11. You came back at this time. He was like, I don't know what to say. He did not apologize. I became really irate. And I wasn't screaming at him, but I just said, as a human, I want you to look at me and tell me, are you lazy? Are you overbooked? Are you going through a hard time? My dog is chronically ill, and you have a lot of clients, and I can't concern myself with that, but when it came down to it, I have to address this with him because this is an animal and a lot of animals' lives, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that my dog, when I get home from work, sometimes I'm not walking him because I think he's gone out twice and he's sick.
Because if he's doing this to your dog, he might be doing it to God knows how many other dogs. We're talking about Jenna had a dog walker that she started noticing some things weren't going right, so she set up a camera in her living room, and she caught him.
Not to catch him, to watch her dog.
To watch her dog.
Happened to catch him.
And she ended up catching him, not taking him out for a walk.
I looked at him, and I told him, I go, I'm telling you, you are the most important man in my life these days, taking care of someone that means the most to me.
Right.
On a human level, I feel very betrayed. And he goes, well, Jenna, Max doesn't really like going outside that much. He started blaming my dog.
Oh, no, you didn't.
My dog loves the outdoors. And yes, he's sometimes tired. He goes, sometimes it's raining and he doesn't like the rain. And I'm like, no, let's talk about today. And he goes, well, honestly, he goes, I walked in and then I looked at your patio and I saw that he had just gone pee and poop. So I figured he didn't need to go. So I left. And he goes, happened twice, which is how many times I said I've seen it on the webcam. And I go, I mean, how am I going to believe that? You know, he was so, it freaked me out how this emotional guy that seemed so caring
could
act and not even apologize. And I wanted to get my key back in person, obviously. Sure. It was very uncomfortable. And nope, no remorse. Just blame my dog. Said he didn't like going out that much. Why would you charge me so much? On and on. I'll make sure you get a refund. And what do you want me to do? And I'm like, well, I really just had hoped that you'd respond differently. I mean, obviously, we're going to part ways right here, but I had just hoped that maybe you'd have a better explanation.
And he didn't?
For...
That sucks.
No, not at all. He was just like, well, I'm going to go. And he called and quit his job.
You didn't get to say you're fired?
He called and quit his job.
So he left and then called back and quit?
No, he quit his job. Like
he works
walking
for a service
because he knew it was done.
Is that what you're saying? This is for a service, and he's an employee.
He knew Jenna was going to call
and
the boss.
I'll tell you, you know, I'm not ever going to say any names because this dog walking service, the owner handled this so well. He
of
was
course.
So upset. I know this is an individual thing, and I am, you know, I do not blame them.
Sucks,
but it's
man.
Just, it came down to, I hate this drama, and I hate that someone's getting fired. But my heart is broken over my sick dog having insulin. Has he been getting all his insulin? I hope so.
But you shouldn't feel bad for him getting fired. You're doing other people a service.
I know. That's what it came down to. And some of the dog people I talked to, they were like, Jenna, this is passive-aggressive animal abuse. And they said, Jenna, this is not passive-aggressive. This is animal abuse.
Right.
So, I had my confrontation. And
sit there and lie to your face, too.
Exactly. I don't know what I expected, but it didn't make me feel better. I was so riled up. And then, I forgot I invited friends to watch my webcam, and I was so mad that I just, like, took all my clothes off and put my gym clothes on in the living room and was like, I don't know. Hopefully they didn't see it.
Jenna, thank you so much. I made $35 yesterday.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot. So I'm so disappointed and, you know, luckily have some friends help me out right now because it was really, I mean, it created a lot of problems for the company and for me. And I just feel very, very betrayed.
Yeah. That sucks.
So that's what happened.
That does suck.
So that's where I'm at. So I guess I highly recommend getting a drop cam.
Yeah.
Because especially if you have children, it makes a lot of sense, you know.
Babysitters.
You want to trust people, but.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't, and it's at times like this, it's something
important. You trust people till they give you a reason to not trust
them.
Exactly. And you want to give people the benefit of the doubt.
I even coached him recently. Like, I think he needs longer walks, and then he's sending long, detailed texts about how great their walk to Whole Foods was. You're lying.
That never happened.
I hate that I'm saying this to you, but you are a horrible human being.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that was the strongest I got. I mean, there were some swear words in there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was like, well, you're getting really red in the face and won't let me talk. I go, you're blaming my dog. He goes, well, I don't know what to say.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
If you've had anything like this, but it doesn't have to be serious. It could be funny incidents.
Sure.
Our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
What's going on, Peyton? You caught something on camera?
Well, I work for my church. And so we had a new security system installed. And one day when we were having Wednesday night church for our youth, I checked the cameras, and I caught my sister making out with a dude behind the building.
Oh, no. On Wednesday?
Yeah. That's prayer meeting night.
Was it Ash Wednesday?
No, prayer meeting.
Prayer meeting, dude. Praise God.
No, we're not denominational, so we don't have Ash Wednesday.
Oh, right. Hey,
prayer meeting night. Yeah. It's Bible study.
Did you tell her?
Oh, yeah, I told her. Actually, I walked back there, and I was like, hey. And they were like, can you go?
called it while it was happening.
Yeah, so... Then I went back the next day and got all the video on a DVD, and I made it onto a DVD, and I gave it to my parents.
Oh, man, you should have held on to that.
Dude, why would you bust her like that?
How old is your sister, man?
How old is she?
She just turned 14 on Friday.
Oh, yeah. I feel
okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
She's
14, Kelly.
You know, your brother and sister are supposed to have your back.
Yeah, but don't be making out at church.
He's trying.
It was outside church.
She, she's done a lot worse things to me, so, you know, there's payback.
Payback.
Thanks, Peyton. Have a great day, buddy.
Oh, Peyton.
All right. That's
pretty good. He made a DVD.
Oh, man.
And gave it to the parents.
Okay.
It's
yeah, I'm not
HD,
even,
by the way.
I'm not doing that. I know. I just still feel inappropriate.
He's going to show that at her engagement party or wedding reception.
She better not if it's not the man she married.
Well,
not,
yeah, exactly.
Not, okay. Yeah,
I don't know why men can't let that stuff go.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show. Hey, world down.
And join us tomorrow for Throwback Thursday on the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
BBT, baby. Oh, you remember O-Town, right?
JC does.
I know you
wow,
do.
Wow, Uber fan over here.
I think we were talking about him a couple weeks ago, and I guess they were coming.
They caught wind of
it. Caught wind of it, and so they're going to be part of our Throwback Thursday show. The group got back together, like, what, 2 years ago? I'm asking you guys like you know. I'm sure you guys keep up with O-Town.
You tell us.
They broke up?
They broke up for 10 years, got back together, and minus Ashley Parker Angel. Okay. He didn't want to.
What'd she do?
What's he do? He's doing stuff. He's working. Right. So they'll be on the show tomorrow with us.
Now, is he technically working?
Yeah, he's in Wicked, apparently.
He's doing some plays.
Okay.
Yeah, he does Broadway.
He posts a lot of stuff.
We got David Duchovny should be calling the show anytime.
I know. I'm kind of nervous.
Why?
I love David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Kid had a thing for Taya Leone.
Mm. Yeah.
And I had a little thing for David Duchovny.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, now divorced.
Yeah.
They named their son Kid. And so Kid and I, of course, are convinced they know about our love for them. And they have named their child Kid in honor of Kid Craddock.
Hey, Kid.
That's what you think.
That's what we convinced ourselves, knowing that's not true. But it's, like, weird. Don't you remember he had that thing for Taya Leone?
Yeah. They were married for a while.
I'm a little bit nervous. I might be quiet on this interview because you know how I get.
Don't be quiet.
I kind of shut down when I get intimidated.
Don't be intimidated. You got so many things to ask him about?
I don't.
We also have
Did you name your son Kid after Kid Craddock? That's what I'm going to say, and then I'll be done.
Yeah. We also still need to find out where Big Al Mack's girlfriend of 3 years, Dr. Girlfriend, is going to wind up.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was doing residency, and it's that time where she's got to be a big girl and go get that real job.
Yeah.
Her fellowship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that means maybe moving, Al.
Yeah, so I'll let you know the verdict in about, as soon as we play Beat the Bank. How about that?
Okay. By the way, that's coming up in about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, right now, we need to get to this phone call right here.
Oh,
very
is it
special.
Him already? Oh, God.
Yes. Are you nervous, Kelly?
Kelly, put some lipstick on.
I know.
You
fine? Thanks, Jennifer, reminding me.
Hey, David Duchovny, how are you looking right now?
I'm feeling good. I don't know how I'm looking.
I know you're looking fine. That's all I
heard. Oh, thank you.
Wow. Kelly Raspberry wants to kick off the interview by asking you a very personal question,
no,
David.
I don't. David Duchovny.
Right, I already don't like where it's going, but let's do it.
No. our former Kid Craddock is the host of the show, and he passed away. But we both, I had a crush on you. And he had a crush, like, mad over your now ex-wife, Taya Leone. And when you named your son Kid, we were just convinced that you named him after Kid Craddock because you heard of our love for you as a couple.
And I say
so
you just because you're lazy.
It's true.
It's all true.
It does get back to you when we gush a little too much.
Yeah, Kid. I'm hoping that my son goes by Kid at some point. His name is Kid Miller. We call him Miller. We always have called him Miller or Mill. And if I had a choice to be Kid Duchovny, I would. And if he doesn't take Kid Duchovny, I might take it.
Oh, that's cute. I am a little bit nervous to be talking to you because I have been such a fan for so long.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But very surprised to hear that you have an album out. That is so left field.
Hell or High Water.
Yep.
What in the world? We never knew you sang at all. And then suddenly you have a full-blown album, not just a single, a whole album.
Yeah, well, I started learning how to play guitar about 5 years ago. I'd always wanted to be a musician, and it was actually just something where, in my mind, it was like I'm always telling my kids, again, that you got to try things, new things, and if they're worthwhile, they're going to be difficult at first. You can't just pick stuff up and be great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, you're already doing things. All they see you is you doing things, not learning things. So I thought, well, what if I suck at the guitar in front of them and keep on trying, you know, and maybe my daughter will pick up the guitar, which she eventually did, which is great. So my evil plan worked. But I had a friend, Keaton Simons, who said, just play 5 minutes a day if you can. Just pick it up every day. Just play the guitar every day, and eventually you'll be able to play songs that you like. And that's all I wanted to do. So I got to that. I got to that point, and then I was looking at the chord structures of songs that I liked, and I saw that they weren't crazily complicated. Rock and roll. It's just rock and roll. That's what I like. That's what I'm playing. And then I started. Well, I can come up with a melody. I found that I could. And then the words have always been the easiest part for me.
Really?
And then just it all came together that way. And I'd record them at home on my phone. I'm so stupid. I don't even know how to use more than one track on my garage band. Uh-huh. But I just play and sing. And then I met Brad Davidson at Think Say Records, and he was like, "This is an album." I had 21 songs. There's 12 on the album.
Jeez.
And he pushed me and pushed me. He made me not made me, but he said, "You know, keep working on your voice because I'm not a natural singer at all. You know, but I've worked my ass off at it, and every day I sing now, which is fun." And for me, anyway, not for people in the near vicinity.
And this is great, David, because didn't you flunk a choir audition as a kid?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
It's in the prep we got.
We got spies on sometimes, you from back in the day.
Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not.
It's true. That is true. I went to a church school in Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the kids were in the choir, not because they loved God, but because they got paid. You get paid like $10 a month. I mean, this is way back in 70, probably even earlier, maybe 69, 70. And not only do you get paid, but the church, they have checks the size of like when you win a golf tournament. You know, they give you those big checks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but the church cuts big checks. Not in terms of the amount, but in terms of just the check.
Just size.
It was like, I just coveted this stuff. I was like, okay, you get some money and you get a huge check. And it's like, I needed to be in the choir. And I auditioned in front of all my friends who were in the choir.
Uh-oh.
You know, I auditioned in front of them.
Yeah.
And did not pass muster, never got the big golf tournament check. And So, to be honest with you, it was kind of a traumatizing experience. I remember being really, really down about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever sang again. I'm not blaming anybody, but it was just like, okay, well, maybe you don't sing, David. You know,
not your thing.
It's funny how things happen to you as a child, though. They carry with you all the way through adulthood, but you overcame it.
You did.
Well, that's why, when I watch my kids, I just feel for them. You know, you just don't want that. It's like you want that first experience of something to be fantastic, and when it sucks, you're like, damn. Now they're never going to do that thing. They're going to hate that thing. And that thing is great, whatever that thing is I'm thinking of. I don't know what it is.
But you're doing so much, David. I mean, between all the great acting you have on your resume and now the singing career, and you released your first novel earlier this year, when are you coming out with your fashion line?
The Duchovny. You just call it Duchovny.
Have you seen the way I dress?
You're a cool
guy. Probably never.
Well, I tell you, when I found out we were going to interview you today, I went on YouTube.
I smell pretty good, though. I smell pretty good. Maybe I can have a fragrance.
Oh, please. I'd buy that.
What do you wear? What do you wear? What kind of cologne?
I call it Duke.
Dude.
That's just me. I just put on some powder.
Oh.
I'm like just a talcum powder guy. I don't wear a cologne.
Oh, man.
Well, I went on YouTube last night.
My fragrance can be called Duke. What do you think?
Duke.
I like
Duke. It sort of...
That rhymes with puke.
And it sort of makes me want to say Dookie. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dookie? Like that.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm running it by you guys. Right.
Yeah. That could be the second fragrance, David.
But I did go on YouTube last night and looked up Hell or High Water because I wanted to hear your song. I didn't have it. And there's like, you know, you are on YouTube. And I'll tell you, the first initial impression I have was you sound a little like Bob Dylan, except I can understand what you're saying.
That's awesome.
To me, Bob Dylan is like the American recording artist genius of the 20th century. So, thank you.
That's the vibe I got from Hell or High Water. I don't know what the rest of the album sounds like. I didn't hear any more. Is it that same vibe?
Well, my stuff is lyric heavy. I mean, it's lyric centric. I don't know, the lyrics are important. You know, the songs are telling a story. So in that sense, I think Dylan's stuff is lyrically important. Lyrics are an important part of the song. Same with R.E.M. or Petty, you know, things like that. So, or Lou Reed even, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I'm always kind of afraid to engage in this kind of conversation because it seems like I'm validating a comparison between me and these amazing legendary musicians, which I am not. But I do love them, and I appreciate that you're saying that.
That's what I felt. And are you going to tour to support the album?
That's what I was going to, yeah.
I would love to. I have to go to Vancouver in June to shoot the X-Files.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe on a stray weekend here and there, I'd love to do some stuff on the West Coast. But after that, it's not going to be too long a shoot. So in mid-August, late August, I've had two live shows now for the full 90 minutes of the album, and they've been two of the best nights of my life. So mm-hmm. It's not about money. It's not about anything. It's kind of like it's an experience for everybody in the room. It's like live acting. It's like it's only going to happen this way tonight, which right. is great, you know. And I'm not going to be a guy that goes out there and sings the album. I don't have that kind of voice. I can't get it right all the time. So it's always going to be different.
That's good.
Yeah, but David, you get the acting thing right. Now I got to geek out for a second a little bit because the Charles Manson crime story is hands down, you know, my most favorite. I mean, in a morbid way, my
Aquarius?
Most favorite piece of crime history. And I'm just so right. researched on this, and I'm so excited that there's a show coming out and you're starring in it. It's called Aquarius. It premieres May 28th on NBC. Can you tell us any juicy stuff about this Charles Manson show?
Well, what I loved about the project was, you know, to me, Manson was like, he's the end of the 60s, you know, and the 60s was the revolution that kind of didn't happen or that half happened. And Manson was this greaser, really, because he was in his 30s mm-hmm. at that point. He was no hippie. He was just looking like a hippie, and he acted like a hippie to get over with these young girls and to take advantage of the free love and all that. But because he's basically a pimp, Manson, mm-hmm. before that.
Right.
And but when the murders go down, the media, America, reacts as if this is what happens when the kids run the store. This is what happens when you do drugs and have free love and, you know, you put flowers and guns and this kind of stuff. And America kind of contracted and went to the right, which is where, you know, we're still kind of veering to the right ever since. And Manson kind of, he represents this kind of fork in the road for America, which I found fascinating. Not the guy himself. The guy himself is an unfortunate human being and mm-hmm. a killer and, you know, con man and a pimp and basically a waste. But as a symbol, like, he's so big to our country still, to the world mm-hmm. still. So I love that idea. I love the idea of going back and revisiting that. And the way we get into the story, I thought, was so smart, because I'm in love with this woman who's married to another guy, a lawyer, who's running the Reagan governorship campaign in 67. Uh-huh. Their daughter, 15-year-old daughter, goes missing, runs away, and they don't want it in the papers. So they come to me, a homicide detective, and they say, can you find her off the books? And I say, okay, because I still love her. And I go and I track her down to the desert where she's shacking up in a commune with a guy named Charlie Manson.
Wow. That's
the way into the story. And this is 2 years before the murders.
And this is going to premiere on May 28th, right, David?
May 28th on NBC.
But you got to wait for after the Super Bowl for X-Files. They're going to film that this summer.
Yeah. Right.
I'm very excited about that.
You're a busy man, David Duchovny, so we'll let you go. Make sure you buy David's new album, Hell or High Water. It's going to be available.
It's available now.
Yeah, available. It's available now, and you can get his single, Hell or High Water.
Yep.
That's what the album's in it. Or buy the book.
Or get his book, Holy Cow.
Yeah, why not?
You got everything going on.
Book, watch him.
And the cologne is coming out any day.
But not. We're not
like
calling it Dookie.
The target of performers here.
You got everything, David.
You've earned it.
Thank you so much, David Duchovny.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye. Bye, you too.
Bye.
Oh, man, he's doing everything.
He's in a good mood.
I like him.
He's busy.
Wants to talk.
When does he have time for himself?
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Sorry, we're a little late.
Yeah, sorry, I had to ask about the Charles Manson.
No, I'm glad you did.
I'm so excited about a new crime drama. Yeah.
He always plays a detective. He plays that role so well.
Yeah.
Let's win you some money with Beat the Bank. Mm-hmm. How about that? We'll take caller number 13 at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-KEEK-IT.
And we'll play next.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
You guys, we're on the air.
Hello.
Stop yelling at each other. We're on the air.
We're having a quarrel.
I know.
Not really a quarrel.
Okay, that's fine.
I bought a bag of mixed nuts,
uh-huh.
and he got mad at me for picking out the ones that I like to eat, but I'm allergic to some of them.
Which ones do you like to eat?
I like to eat the cashews and the almonds, but I'm allergic to macadamia and pecans and walnuts. So I'm having to pick around them.
I got you. By the way, Big Al, are you ready to inform us of where your doctor girlfriend may end up?
Yeah.
It could be here at home, or it could be...
That's where she will end up. It's not
anywhere.
It's, yeah.
You're being awfully... You're on both sides here in the last hour.
He's dropped some hints off the air, so I have a feeling.
Okay.
He's been trying to keep it close to the vest, but JC and I heard him say a few things.
Yeah.
I like to keep you guys guessing as well.
You're throwing me for a loop.
Good.
And this is months in the making.
Because we want people to know our show is not rehearsed, scripted. We leave people in the dark that are in the room with us when we're telling a story. Because
I don't know what's going on half the time.
Right.
We want your reaction.
Well, we leave people in the dark because sometimes we forget to pay the light bill.
Yes.
Also, Love Letters to Kelly's coming up in 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I forgot.
You better get cracking.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. You better get cracking, girl.
And we'll find out if Big Al Mac, our boy Philip from the streets, or I will become a romance novel cover model.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, we got a lot to get to.
I mean, it's...
They've lowered the standards from the days of Fabio, apparently.
Kelly, it's you'll hear. It's bad.
Beat the bank.
But first, we got to hook you up with some money.
Beat the bank.
Come on now.
Shirt too small because it shrank. Riding on fumes, no gas in the tank. I can't swim. I sit on the bank. If you're fat, buy some Spanx. Beat the bank.
What's that have to do with winning money?
Was that the last bang. One of those?
Exactly. No, I was running out of lyrics.
No. I got a whole bunch.
Okay.
I got a whole bunch more.
We were looking for call number 13, and that is Christy Roach. How you doing this morning? I know, right? What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. I was told I was the backup caller.
That's why they like to get you. They surprise you like that.
We like to trick you, Christy. But we get that reaction.
Oh my goodness.
What's up, Christy? Talk to us. Tell us about you.
Well, I'm a x-ray tech, and I'm work at a Monroe Surgical Hospital.
Nice.
In Louisiana.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
We got ourselves a Louisiana girl.
All right.
Christy, we're going to throw you inside that bank vault. We're going to throw a dollar amount your way. When you think it's gone as high as it's going to go, you make sure you yell stop for us, okay?
Okay.
You've been waiting a long time to play, haven't you?
Well, yes. I've been calling for however long I've been doing it.
Well, this is your big chance, Christy.
Dreams do come true, Christy. By the way, you do have to yell stop even if it's $1,000. Just want to make sure you know that. I don't want it to close on you because you'll win nothing if that happens.
Okay.
All right. Oh, Christy, I'm so excited because you sound like a fun person.
I'm ready.
All right.
Let's
ready, everybody. Let's play.
Beat the bank.
$190. $240. $290. $320. $390.
That's 90.
$410. $530.
Back on the roll.
$580. $620. $650. $830. 1,000.
Stop!
Oh, Christy! Oh, yeah!
Wow!
Stop! Well played!
Wow!
I can't believe it!
You go, girl!
Oh, my God.
You won $1,000, Christy.
$1,000, girl!
No!
Christy, what was going through your head as those numbers? Were you just feeling it? Were you just letting it ride?
I can get this up there.
I was thinking, what are you doing, woman?
You did.
You won it all.
After I called, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it. You know, I'm going to let it go all the way.
Oh,
well, there it was.
You must be rich.
Well,
no, I can't believe that.
I actually got to meet y'all at one time. Some friends of mine drove all night long one time to come see y'all's show. So I was just happy we got to meet y'all one time.
Oh, wow. Good.
Well, thanks,
Christy. We got pictures with you and everything.
Oh, that's good.
What are you going to do with $1,000, Christy?
Well, actually, I'm not trying to be sentimental. I want to do something fun with it, but my sister had just passed away, and I'm going to use it to do a memorial for her.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Very sweet.
Bless
I'm
you and your family,
sorry about
Christy.
Your loss. Mm-hmm.
Sorry for your loss, babe.
Well, thank you. I've had a lot of fun, so thank y'all so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening.
I can't believe I got through on the line first.
I know, it's hard.
I can't believe you went all the way to 1,000.
What are you more excited about, getting through or winning the $1,000?
Getting through. I've gotten through in like 10 years, you know. I've never got through.
Well, there you go, Chrissy. You got through and you came up big on your first time. Enjoy your money.
Right.
Have a wonderful day. Big old hug to you and your family.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Good job.
I can't believe it. I was thinking, is she there?
Right.
Did she drop the call? There was not a sound.
Well, see, there you go. Sometimes you got to let it go.
You got to know when to hold them.
I could never do it. I would have stopped.
I was
like motioning, stop. Yeah.
So was I. I was motioning that at 600. Now, Big Al Mack.
Yeah, buddy.
We've been talking about this for months.
We have. My girlfriend is a doctor, and... Mm-hmm.
I got my snacks. I'm ready to hear.
Kelly's ready. You got popcorn?
I got nuts.
Okay. I'm going to assume that most people listening are like me or like us, and we're not doctors, so you don't know exactly what's involved.
So what's involved?
Yeah. So you go to medical school for you go to college for 4 years.
Oh, this is a boring part.
Thanks, Al. We know how it works. You go to college for 4 years, then you go to medical school, and then residency, all that good stuff.
You got to move away for like 4 years or something,
boom.
Right?
Yeah, and then so you're moving in different spots usually. Mm-hmm. So she's been here for 4 years or so, and she likes here. She loves here. As
you're
a matter
here.
Of fact.
So you're saying
I'm
she
here.
Came here just to go to school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for her residency.
Oh, she had to audition around the country to come here.
Right.
And through fate, she met you.
Right.
Okay, so where's she going to go next?
Not through fate. She's just hot, and Al bought her a shot.
That's fate.
Yeah, so I did. I bought her a shot. She says, and she loves here. She loves Dallas, and she's made friends here. She goes, this is a place I really, really love. So anyway, she's at the point in her career where she has to do this thing called fellowship. And when you do that, it's the next step when you specialize, in her case, plastic surgery. So she has visited. She sent applications out. And this costs money. This is on your own dime.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
You have to send out these applications. You have to fly to these cities. And she's gone to, she went to Akron. She went to Boston. Which is where she went to.
Medical school.
Or
no, she went to regular
pre-med.
School there.
Pre-med. So she went to Miami, yeah. Fort Lauderdale, which is not far from Miami, which is where she grew up. Uh-huh. Dallas was an alternative. New Jersey, Cincinnati, Detroit, or nowhere.
Man.
Because it's possible that you don't match. What happens is the school that you're going to, they rank you, or they rank all of the people that are...
Yeah, you fly out for an interview in a hospital that has scores.
That are there. The hospital, the program. They rank the people that are interviewing. And then you rank them as far as your favorite and your least favorite. All right? So it has to kind of
match.
This
is how fraternity and sororities often do it.
So, Al, you're hoping for either staying here with one of those or not getting anything.
We're both hoping for stay here. We're both hoping.
Not get anything.
Yeah, that way she stays here with Big Al.
I don't think that's the other option.
No, we want her to stay here. And if that's not the option, then where her family is, which is Fort Lauderdale, which is close to Miami, or, maybe Boston, because that's where she has spent 3 or 4 years and she knows a few people.
I feel like you're dragging it out. What happened?
Yesterday, she gets an email, right?
And she said initially she was so nervous she was just going to forward it to you and have you read it.
Right. And I thought that's what she was going to do.
She didn't handle it.
She couldn't handle it. And I had a really long day yesterday anyway. I didn't see her until like 9 o'clock last night. So.
And the whole day you're wondering, right?
I'm wondering.
Of course.
I said, any news? She goes, I'm waiting on you. She was waiting on me to be there in person to tell me.
Okay.
Oh, so she already read it. She's waiting telling you. Okay. Uh-huh.
So you get home. What time is it?
And it's, it's probably 8:30, 9 o'clock.
You're tired.
And Mr. Sensitive. I've been waiting all day to tell you this news, and you come home at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, yeah, long day. So anyway, she's got one of those ice packs on her head.
Uh-oh.
Because she's sitting
been celebrating and she has a hangover?
On a couch.
No?
And
she hit her head?
Look what happened to my head.
And she started crying.
Oh, no. Happy?
And she said, Detroit.
What did I say?
8 Mile.
God.
Look.
What did I say?
Oh,
oh off the God. Air. I said it's going to be Detroit, didn't
oh,
I?
Oh, just gave me chills.
One shot.
Psychic.
One opportunity.
Oh, and I'm sorry, but I'm psychic.
To operate on anyone you ever wanted in one moment.
So, Detroit, Al? Detroit.
So now what?
Are we syndicated in Detroit?
No.
Well, here's the thing. She has a job, you know, because, again, it could be nowhere where she didn't get selected and she didn't match and she had nothing.
She could have been stay-at-home wife to Big Al Mack.
She could have not been able to follow her dream and become a plastic surgeon. I mean, this is the last step.
Because she is a doctor, so she could stay and be some a different kind of doctor, right?
Yeah, and she's just, I mean, she goes, I finally found, after going to college, after going to medical school, after I finally found a place where I really, really like, and it's here, and I found friends, and, you know, I'm with you and Curtis and everything else.
Yeah, but she could still be a plastic surgeon and move back and be a rich plastic surgeon.
But, you don't think about that when all she can focus on is 3 years.
That's a long time.
In Detroit.
Yeah.
But it's a blink of an eye in terms of a career.
And I told her, I said, you know, we've been together almost 3 years. It doesn't seem like it. Right. You know, it really, and it doesn't.
No.
You know, it doesn't seem like we've been dating for 3 years, well, but it'll be 3 years.
What did you feel when you heard her say Detroit?
Dude, she was just crying, and I was just trying to hug her because she's just.
Oh, Detroit. I don't know why,
all
but
herself.
Felt Detroit the whole time.
Yeah. Not only that, but it's far.
It's you far. Know, so.
Yeah, but she's spent, I mean, how many years has she already done this? 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, plastic surgery is an intense one.
It's a long,
8 years. That's not even half of the time. Yeah, she's so close.
I was just trying to just.
Did you cry out?
I may have kind of teared. She may. Anytime I'm with somebody that's crying, I cry. I'm like, you know.
That's one of those where it's okay.
So is she's considering not doing
it? No, she's going.
You can't throw it all away.
No, you can't. I mean, she's come too far and she's too close.
I agree. It's a great. A lot of people can't even get into plastic surgery. The fact that she tested into that is a cool thing.
Did you talk about, are you guys going to try to make it work long distance?
That's a little too soon for that conversation, JC.
Did you sign up for Tinder already?
JC,
I'm kidding.
Instead of one on the show.
I'm kidding. I feel like I need to get my boy out of this funk, man, because I could tell.
I'm in the funk because she's in the funk.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not the most ideal situation.
Day by day.
But she has, like, a year. I mean, they give you a lot of notice on this.
Yeah.
You gotta tie up loose ends.
Whatever, find a place to stay, you know, get one of those $200 houses up in Detroit, all that stuff. I told her she could probably meet Eminem. She could probably meet Kid Rock.
Right.
Oh, JC's so jealous right now.
I go live with her.
So, yeah, she got Detroit, y'all. Detroit, the Motor City.
It's good for her, but I'm sorry that you guys won't be together, though.
Yeah, it sucks.
And, wow, Kelly, you called it.
I just had that with my gut the entire time.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it out of my...
It was the city that, you know, she least wanted to go to, but...
Yeah. You still have us, Al.
And it happened.
Yeah, you have us.
Well, thanks.
We're still
but
here
I'm still
you.
Not sleeping.
Hey,
this gives you a year to really strengthen your love, you know?
Yeah.
You know, distance helps.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Man, we've had a packed show. I gave my son a horrible haircut. Jenna fired her dog walker. Big Al just found out Dr. Girlfriend got a job in Detroit.
I'm good.
Kelly, you're having a good day so far. Kelly, you got your nuts and you're fine.
Yeah.
Not too crazy.
Kelly's just been snacking.
And I just read the 3-page Coolio script for the wedding for Saturday.
All right. And by the way, we still have to find out if Big Al, Philip with 2 L's because 1 L sucks, or I will be romance novel cover models like Fabio. Because we had an interview.
Yeah, you had an audition yesterday after the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just 10-second description. Two ladies in studio.
Mm-hmm.
One an author.
Me, Philip, and JC shirtless.
Awesome.
So there you go. There's a little teaser for you. Speaking of romance, let's get to some love. We're so late, we're just gonna call this Love Letter to Kelly.
Okay. Okay. In the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love letter. Love letter to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I'm married to a man who would rather be right than anything else ever.
Yeah, I can relate.
Oh, boy.
I can relate to that.
Because
Dr. Phil asked me one time, would you rather be right or be loved? I said, I'd rather be right.
Why?
Because sometimes it's a principle.
Kelly.
Okay, so Kelly's going to side with the guy, probably.
Okay.
I'm supposed to open these.
What are those, Al?
These are almonds. I'm sorry, y'all. I interrupt love letter. These were sat over here in front of my microphone.
You sat here and watched me open them.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. I did it right in front of you.
You know, I'm going through bad time right now.
Oh, whatever.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert. All right, I'm married to a man who would rather be right than anything else ever. It doesn't matter if I'm bawling in the fetal position saying the sky is blue with proof from scientists pulled up on the computer showing that I'm right, the man will continue to argue with me until I give in. Mm. I don't know how he does it sometimes, but it's emotionally exhausting. He always apologizes and says he will try and calm down, but it just seems to get worse and worse. Is there any way to tame a person who is so insistent on being right no matter what the cost? If this continues, he's going to lead me right out the door, Gwen.
Well, you just don't engage. You just don't engage in those conversations.
Yeah.
You know, a person can only argue with someone that's arguing back.
Exactly. That's why people hate me.
But what if you're right?
The hardest is, again, in her thing, is it more important to be right or be loved? If she'd rather be loved, then she'll just let him be right.
Mm-hmm. You would rather be right.
That's a problem for me, and something I'm working on, because, you know, sometimes I just have to keep my mouth shut and
know with the
quiet little inside smiley voice, Kelly, you're right, and you know you're right. You just have to take satisfaction in that and let the other person just have this one.
But at what point is it, like, not issues every time? You know, it's like choosing your battles every time.
You just don't engage.
You have to be right.
You don't go. You know when you're getting ready to go there with someone. You know, to avoid those situations, and just don't engage. Just change the subject and do something else.
Leave the room, you're also participating.
Because you're standing your ground trying to be right, too. He's just a better arguer and more of a bully than you are about it.
Would you say you're more of a bully in those situations?
Bullying? I don't know if it's bullying.
It might be the wrong word.
I'm an adamant arguer.
Uh-huh.
I'm an adamant arguer.
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Kelly will argue.
Agreed.
Yeah. And that's difficult in a romantic relationship because it makes the other person feel like you're being condescending or less than.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's something I'm working on. I really am. But, you know, I love being right. I love it.
Argue with you about how bad she's working on it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she will.
She's not.
She's in the arguing with herself.
If you love him, just don't engage. Just, you know, when you see him building up, just, you know, check out of it. You don't need to sit there and say, yes, the sky's blue. Okay, you know this is not blue. You know this is his problem. Just let it go.
And since you work on that, what do you do to work on that to help yourself not be that way? If he's listening by chance.
I just shut my mouth.
You just shut your mouth.
You don't engage.
Right.
You don't engage by not participating.
There you go.
That's it. That's all you can do if you want to save your marriage.
Mm-hmm. That is honest right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't engage.
So that's it right there.
Don't engage.
Love letter.
That was it.
Love letter to Kelly.
It'll be plural next week.
Yeah.
Kelly, can you imagine?
We're running late today. We have so much going on.
We had some real life drama come up in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
I've got all these almonds to eat, and I can't eat while we're on the air, so we have to take a commercial break.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Thanks, Big Al.
Yeah.
That's pretty good right there. That's probably my favorite one so far. Let's play Beat the Bank. This is where you have a shot at winning up to $1,000 like Christy Roach did an hour ago. She let it go all the way.
She went all the way.
We got a gambler. Amber Meyer, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. I just want to inform you that you're caller number 19.
That is awesome. Like, I
want to
cry right now. I know that sounds so stupid.
No, don't cry.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. We'll wait. Go ahead and cry.
No.
Go ahead.
It's an emotional moment.
My kids are not going to believe me that I finally got through.
Aw. Well, Amber, let's try to win you some money, okay?
I am down for that.
Big Al, tell her how to play.
All right, Amber, you're going to hear a lot of dollar amounts, all right? You have time in between each amount to say stop. When you hear one you're comfortable with, you say, hey, that's cool with me. Just say stop. If the bank vault door closes and you hear this clunk and you haven't said stop yet, you don't get anything.
Okay.
Got it, Amber? We want you to win money. You safe or you're a gambler?
I don't know today. It's iffy today.
I know. It's a gut feeling. You just got to go with your gut.
Only way to find out is to play. And let's play Beat the Bank. Good luck, Amber.
$180 $240 $260 $360
460. 560. 610. 730.
Stop.
Oh,
yes, girl.
Oh,
yes,
girl.
Yes, girl.
Boy,
yes, girl.
You got more guts than I would right after a $1,000 winner.
Do you know how calm she was about it?
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop.
What was that?
I don't know how hard it is. I have to keep my cool. That is so hard to do.
I know.
What do you do for a living? Do you have a job where you have to kind of stay calm under pressure?
Yes, actually, I do. I am on my own business. I do detailing and transportation for a lot of the auctions down here.
Well done.
Oh, cool.
Well, Amber, you just won $730. Well played.
Wow. I have a feeling it was getting ready. There was no way it'd be $2,000 in a row.
Well, let's find out just for fun. Let's see how high it goes.
That is fine.
Oh, Amber!
Got every
fire.
You got every drop.
Wow. Man.
To the, like, you had less than a second to say stop, and you did it just fine.
Well, as calm
that is
and cool.
Awesome.
It is awesome. What awesome thing are you going to spend that money on?
Oh, a new apartment for me and my kids. Our lease is up.
Oh, there you go.
That's great. That
hopefully that covers the
deposit,
down payment.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, that covers a lot.
Good deal.
Well,
congratulations, Amber.
There's Amber Meyer going off with $730. So happy for her. She deserves it. Oh. We'll play again tomorrow morning, 7:20, 8:20 Central, like we do every single day.
Give away $1,700.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.